Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Hawk Sports Radio here, where we talk about Hawk Sports. Obviously, it was a pretty busy weekend. I'm joined here by Andy Martinez. Andy, how you doing today?
Good. Kind of weird weather we're having right now, kind of weird timing of the year. I think the fall weather's finally starting to settle in and take its place this year.
Yeah, we both admit before the show that we're kind of feeling like we're a little under the weather here, but I'll tell you who's feeling really good after this weekend. It's all three Hawk Sports teams.
Yep.
The football team with a great comeback victory, and then the men and women obviously advancing themselves further into the GLVC Conference Tournament. We're going to get things kicked off, though, with that football team outscoring Truman State 17-0 in the fourth quarter to take home a 23-19 victory this game on national TV. So, Hawks fans, you had no excuse to miss it unless you were at work like Andy and I probably were. But, it was a heck of a game, heck of a comeback, great leadership by Lonergan after the pretty poor week that they had against Ohio Dominican. It was nice to see them put that behind them and face a pretty formidable squad in Truman and get a big victory.
Yeah, when I was at work, you mentioned kind of a weird time for us, but I'm following the game along on my phone, and I see Quincy's down, and every time it seemed like Quincy got something going, it just stalled for whatever reason. And I looked away at around halftime, and I'm thinking, it's gonna be a rough ending for QU season. And then I looked in the third quarter and it's 19-6, and I'm thinking, cool, at least they're putting up a decent fight on national TV and against a rival. But I'm just thinking, this is not going to end pretty for the Hawks. And with two tough games coming up, I said, it's going to be a rough way for QU to end the season. And they turn it around, and really, that's kind of the kind of win that can propel you. I'm not saying you're going to definitely win the next two games, but that kind of propels you to put your best foot forward against McKendree and Missouri S&T in these next two games.
Absolutely. That's the fight that this team had, in that fourth quarter. They could easily just, put their tail between their legs and just took the loss against Truman, who, came in, was playing pretty well as of late. They got out to a really hot start. Their defense was shutting down the offense at the right time. QU's offense dominated, statistically yards-wise, but, they weren't able to punch it into the end zone, like you said. And Truman, they were doing a really good job of limiting, the damage against, their defense was doing a good job of limiting the damage against Lonergan and company. And Nick Lonergan having a good game. Eric Poindexter, he came up big again like he usually does, even though, didn't have the greatest game. He was held in check pretty much against ODU. But the fourth quarter this team had, it did surprise me, and obviously it's not like to put down QU or say, I wasn't expecting it, but I knew that they had it in them. But at the moment, when you're down 19-6 at home, nothing's really going your way. You're not being able to punch it into the end zone when you need to. I figured, this game is probably over.
Yeah. Especially if you look at the drive chart, Quincy, three possessions in the game where they take it inside the Truman State's 30-yard line and don't come away with anything. Once an interception, twice to get turned over on downs. That kind of was it almost seemed like the storyline of QU's offense. They were moving it, and then, boom, something happened that, killed their momentum going. They had two interceptions. They had a few punts. It almost looked for about three quarters of this game that, QU just wasn't going to be able to, get that necessary next step or get that next play to kind of get themselves back in the game. But in the fourth quarter, everything clicked. And Nick Lonergan orchestrated in hurry-up offense mode a great comeback for QU. One of the comebacks that's going to be pretty big for this team heading into the offseason and heading into next season. One that a lot of guys on this team will probably talk about for a few seasons down the road.
Yeah, this comeback for me is just – it kind of just defines Lonergan's career as a QU quarterback. He's been so special for this Hawks football team. He's a competitor. This team hasn't seen many competitors, obviously, the last 5 to 10 years. They haven't been very good. Nick Lonergan comes into this program, and he is a competitor. Yeah, sure, the team obviously doesn't have a good record, but this is a guy that – is a leader. He's a leader of men, and he's not going to be that guy that goes out there and throws 400 yards. He's not Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that's going to have the attention of a defense. He's going to have the attention of all of his teammates because they all respect him. He's a guy that's respected, and they view him as a leader. And he obviously delivered in a big way in this fourth quarter. And you know what? The thing is, yeah, QU, they couldn't punch it in. There was something missing, but their offense was good throughout the entire game. And, you know, when you keep getting chances and keep getting the ball into opponent's territory, they finally just made the adjustment they needed to, whatever they saw on the field, and they finally clicked, if whatever clicked with them, and they were able to score those 17 points in the fourth quarter and just take home the victory.
Yeah, I think this is the kind of game where you kind of realized, this is what QU can do when they're, you know, clicking on all cylinders. We mentioned that first half of William Jewell was probably their best performance, but it was only one half. The second half, the wheels kind of fell apart. We talked about against Southwest Baptist, they put up pretty good. They were good in moments. This team never put up a full 60-minute effort of full football where they were dominant. They didn't do it this game. I'm not saying they did for sure. Defensively, they definitely did. I think they did enough.
Oh, absolutely.
They limited Truman State a lot. But I think what you saw was in crunch time, QU had that edge that they have not had all season. And, you know, you want to see them dominate from the first minute to the last play, but that's not always going to happen. But if you can start seeing some big plays in crucial situations, that's kind of big for Pagic, and that's kind of big for the team overall and the psyche of the team going forward for the last two games of the season.
Yeah, and I think you take the 15 minutes in the fourth quarter as the domination that the QU had in these 15 minutes in the fourth quarter. I think you just take that. You know, you just got to baby steps, you know. It's so hard for a team to dominate an entire game. But with this team, how they dominated the entire fourth quarter, and you talked about the defense, and that's I wanted to get into that. The defense, I thought, had to get themselves off the field fast, you know, in order to have a chance, because obviously they just played so bad against Ohio Dominican. And I know Ohio Dominican had they have a great offense, but Truman State was rolling too with their offense. And QU was able to do that. They were able to get Truman State's offense off the field. They won time of possession. They were able to get their offense a lot of chances, and I thought that's what they would have to do in order to win this game. They dominated, you know, the offenses, and, you know, statistically on offense, only giving up 193 total yards, QU with 434 total yards. So everything that had to play out in order for QU did, you know, for them to win this game, I thought.
Yeah, defensively, 193 yards in one game, allowing that. That's in this day and age of football, that's almost unheard of. Unless you're playing a really, really subpar team. You might have seen that last year against Haskell Indians Nation. But when you do that against Truman State, your GOVC rival, a team that's beaten you the last 3 years.
Arguably one of your biggest conference rivals.
Yeah, yeah. And a team that's just giving you fits. And to come out and do it, especially piggybacking off that horrible game the defense had against Ohio Dominican, to come back and do that in that fashion is just incredible. It's a 360-degree turnaround.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I think it's got to be one of the best defensive turnarounds I've seen, out of this Hawks football team on defense. I mean, even, you know, just not even just on defense, on off, anything you would, I mean, I've never seen that side of the ball just, you know, they gave up 23 points, but they still kind of dominated the game,
yeah.
I thought, you know?
Yeah, I mean, two of those points were safety. It was just a dominating effort by the defense. And you look at last week, they give up 582 yards of offense to Ohio Dominican. They give up more yards rushing to Ohio Dominican than they gave up to Truman State in this whole game of any kind of offense. That's pretty incredible. That kind of turnaround to only give up 193 yards when you give up 218 on the ground last week. That is a great turnaround for QU and it's big for the Hawks to be able to put up a performance defensively like that, because it's something that they needed after last week, because, you know, it could have been easy for them to lay down, and this week they could have gotten gotten blown out again. And then you go into those last two games and you have no confidence, no momentum, and, you know, it could have gotten really ugly had things played out just a little bit differently.
Yeah, everything turned around for me. It wasn't just the defense. The offense was even way better against Truman State than it was against Ohio Dominican. Lonergan was much better. The running attack got going. Poindexter got going. I mean, everything, you know, clicked on offense. Yeah, they they didn't get the ball into the end zone until the fourth quarter. Well, they did, but, like, you know, they weren't able to dominate as much as we thought they could this offense this season until the fourth quarter. But, you know, everyone kind of played just so much better against Truman State here, not just the defense. I thought, you know, while the offense maybe didn't make a full 360-degree turn, they obviously, you know, they definitely played so much better than they did against Ohio Dominican. And, I mean, they had that balanced attack, I thought. I think Chris Harris had over 100 yards rushing in this game.
Yeah, you know,
166 total yards rushing. And when you're able to get yards on the ground like that, it takes so much pressure off of Lonergan. As you saw, I mean, yeah, he had two turnovers, but he had way more complete. His completion percentage was way above what it was against Ohio Dominican.
Yep.
23 for 39 this game compared to 9 for 23 last week. So, you know, everything for me, it was just so much better. And even special teams, you know, they tacked on a field goal. You know, they did miss an extra point, but, you know, whatever. You know, everything was just so much better for me.
Yeah, QU this game was, you know, head and shoulders above where they were last week. And you look at it, last week, Eric Poindexter was kept in check. This week, 9 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown.
He went off.
Yeah, you mentioned Chris Harris, who 109 yards rushing. It was just the balanced attack that Padgett is always striving to have. Obviously, it's not balanced on yardage-wise. It's going to be hard to do that in any sort of offense. But it was, you know, your play call was 39 running plays and 39 passing plays. That's the definition of balance. And they were able to succeed and do everything offensively that they wanted to do. And that's big for QU to be able to do that because, you know, if you start losing games and things start going wrong, it's easy for the guys to start questioning, you know, well, are we doing this right or is this going on right? But to have a game like this where, you know, the offense clicks and you see what the offense is capable of, it's big for the confidence of the guys. And I'm not saying there was never any trust or the trust was lost, but it boosts up the trust that was there in Padgett and in the offense and in how things are run in the program.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. And, you know, Truman State, they had this lead pretty much throughout the entire game, so you thought they'd try and attack more on the ground, but, you know, they only had 62 rushing yards in this game, just a testament to the QU defense. Held in check there, leading rusher just 27 yards. Their quarterback, Randy Schroeder, just 18 of 34, 154 yards, touchdown, interception, you know, pretty mediocre. The defense was just, they did a good job in coverage, you know, interception there for QU. It's by Shane Barrett. Just good overall, all around. I mean, not much you could ask for. I mean, obviously, you know, they squeak out the victory because they dominate the fourth quarter. You know, neither of us really thought that they were going to pull out this win, even though statistically they kind of dominated throughout.
Yeah, they throughout the season, one thing that's been kind of obvious about QU is the fourth quarter has been their weakest. Their weakest quarter.
Absolutely.
By far.
Coming into this game, I believe they only had 12 points in the fourth quarter in the entire season.
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now. But yeah, it's been the weak spot of QU's QU's team in general. You know, the fourth quarter is just not that's not their time for whatever reason this season. It wasn't there, but to see QU go out there and outscore them 17-0, that's big, and that's huge for QU. When you're struggling in the fourth quarter, to go out and do a performance like that to win in that fashion, it's big for QU and for the team in general.
Yeah, and coming into this game, just 12 points in the fourth quarter. They were being outscored 56-12 in the fourth quarter by opponents. So, you know, it's maybe they had just finally had enough. You know, I don't know. Because I'm not an athlete, I don't know if playing on national TV would get your juices flowing even more in the fourth quarter.
Maybe.
You're losing 19-6 at home in front of your home fans on Halloween on national TV. I don't know if maybe, you know, athletes are just like, okay, enough is enough. Let's go out there and let's win this fourth quarter and let's come back and let's, you know, send Truman State out of here with a loss. But, you know, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
It wasn't really good weather for throwing the football in Lonergan. He was good. It was, you know, running football weather, and, you know, the offense came out and opened holes and got good yardages from the run. Chris Harris was great. Darius Burst had a touchdown run. You know, everything for me was flowing when it needed to flow in the fourth quarter. So, you know, just really impressed with this win. Really, really impressed with the fight and the effort that this team showed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was big for QU, and I think you mentioned the weather. You know, at the start of the game, it was raining and it was horrible weather. But as the game went on, you know, by the afternoon, things had cleared up. There was no more rain. I think you can see that in the fourth quarter. You know, you're able to finally start passing the ball. I'm not saying that that was the difference, that, you know, the rain stopping was allowed KU to win, because that's not the case. But it had to have played a little bit of a factor, and it had to have helped KU get the passing game going and kind of establish the balance that they wanted and be able to move the ball more efficiently than just relying on just the ground and pound game.
Right. Yeah. You know, I was in Macomb, so it wasn't very clear up there. It was kind of spit rain a little bit the entire day, but yeah, it did clear up towards, you know, latter afternoon, fourth quarter time, for KU, who wins 23-19, big comeback victory for the Hawks. They'll be facing McKendree this coming weekend. We'll be talking about that in our preview episode. So we're going to jump to a couple other teams that had success here this weekend. First, the men's soccer team beating Bellarmine, exacting revenge on them earlier this season, losing 4-1 in Louisville. This one in Quincy, though, in their victorious 3-1. Andy, what are your thoughts on this game?
Big win for KU, and even I think it's even bigger given the circumstances. Taylor Reese, who was undoubtedly one of their key players offensively, fractures his leg. Or fractured a bone in his leg in the first half?
First half, yeah. Pretty much, you know, right maybe 10 to 15 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens where, you know, a team can just sulk in and just, you know, let everything fall apart. They didn't. They bounced back, scored 3 unanswered goals, and Bellarmine attacked 1 on late, but KU wins 3-1. And they stay ahead of Indianapolis for the fifth spot, or for the in the NCAA rankings for the NCAA tournament. They're in fifth spot.
Fifth spot.
So right now you're looking at you're advancing into the semifinals of the GOVC tournament in Kansas City at Rutgers University, and now you play Indy in the next game in the semifinals, and you win, and I provide something miraculous doesn't happen. You're in the NCAA tournament given everything that has gone on this season, which is a huge testament to Mike Carpenter and the team.
Absolutely. You know, when I predicted this team to win this game 3-2, the Hawks, you know, I thought they'd be able to get it done. However, I didn't see, you know, that was, you know, barring Taylor Reese staying healthy.
Yeah.
He goes down really quickly in the game. I mean, and I got to tell you, I didn't know if this team was going to be gutted from it. I didn't know how they were going to respond. Not a lot was going on in the first half. I mean, each team had a chance here and there, but nothing was really too serious. And then all of a sudden, in the second half, the Hawks just lit up Bellarmine's defense for 3 goals. And they tacked them on those 3 goals in 10 minutes from, I think, the 53rd to the 63rd minute. And then, like you said, Bellarmine tacks on 1 late, but at that point, it really didn't matter. You know, Eddie Plesha, this guy came up big. He was big time.
He's kind of come out of nowhere, too.
He was big time in this game. You know, it was a good cross from Jordan Stevens, to you know, that Plesha scored on. Just kind of a sliding kick into the back of the net. And then Kyle Frazier, you know, he had a kind of a little breakaway. It was a turnover by Bellarmine. Pete Condell had the ball, kicks it to Frazier, who pretty much just has one man to beat, beats him, and then beats the goalkeeper for the second goal. And then Eddie Plesha, just a ridiculous last goal, beating by himself, unassisted, beating 4 or 5 Bellarmine guys on the defensive side before kicking it past the goalkeeper. I mean, it was a heck of a goal, heck of an effort, both from Frazier and Plesha. And then, you know, Pete Condell adds in 2 assists in this game. So, you know, 3 guys that, you know, you and I haven't really talked a lot about this season, but have plenty of talent, you know, and they have shown that they can get the job done. And this is a big-time win for the Hawks.
Yeah, this is huge. I think if someone came up to us on Friday and told us, hey, Taylor Reese is going to break his leg 15 minutes into the game, we both would have said, well, Bellarmine's winning this game.
Most likely, yep.
Just because, it's no disrespect to the Hawks, but, you know, Bellarmine had beat them 4-1. They were, you lose your key offensive cog in the attack. You know, there's just starts to become a lot of doubt. And, you know, Q did quite the opposite and stepped it up and started getting, you know, a lot of offense going that second half, to the 3 goals in 10 minutes. Eddie Plesha is kind of popped out of nowhere. You know, he had 2 goals, second and third goals of the season. The true freshman from Normal really stepped into the KU offense seemingly out of nowhere. And that's been big for Mike Carpenter and the KU team. When you get someone who just starts scoring goals, late in the season. I don't think you can get too upset about that. I think you'll take that any day of the week. Because when you add another weapon that you're a little bit surprised about, well, that's just going to make opposing teams even that more shocked about it.
Yeah, there's something about just these guys that just step up. It's almost like the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. These guys that, you know, during the season, you don't really see a lot of them. Come postseason time, you got them stepping up and playing big. And Artan Amini was huge these last couple weeks, too, after X, you know, obviously left the team or was kicked off, whatever that story is, doesn't matter. We're past it now. But, I mean, he had a big last 2 weeks to help, you know, propel the Hawks up into hosting a GLVC game here. Yep. And then they get that chance against Bellarmine, and they take care of business in the second half. Bellarmine, a team that was slipping a little bit, had lost three games in a row entering this postseason play, but nonetheless is a team that still beat the Hawks 4-1 and poses a problem for the Hawks in general. So just a huge win, a huge moment for Eddie Plesha, a good game from Fraser and Pete Condell as well. And this team's got a date with Indy on Friday. That one gonna be a big game. That's in Rockhurst there.
Yeah, I think even if things don't go well and they lose to Indy, I think there's still a pretty good chance that Quincy gets in to the NCAA tournament. But I think they'll be in that last spot, which will be difficult for QU. And you know, I think the safest thing for QU is just, hey, let's just go out and beat Indy.
Exactly.
And you're in. You don't have to worry about Indy leapfrogging you because you beat them and they're now for sure behind you. And the thing is, you know, you set up that game with Rockhurst, and yeah, I understand that the things were a little bit differently when you first played Rockhurst, and I understand you're on the road, but you know, you played them to a tough draw, and you know, it was a game QU dominated. I'm not putting it past them to be able to go out and beat Rockhurst at Rockhurst to take the GOVC tournament and, you know, maybe leapfrog up the regional rankings a little bit.
Well, I'm not going to go that far here. I'm just, you know, this game was important to win. I thought this game against Bellarmine was a must win. I thought virtually if they lost this game, they played themselves out of a spot.
Yep.
Against Indy, you know, you never know with the NCAA tournament committee. Yeah, they've got that fifth spot right now and Indy's a six. You would just like to win, have no doubt going into a game against Rockhurst. I mean, here's the thing. Rockhurst only playing with 10 guys that day. They were playing without their coach. They're playing here at QU. And, you know, I know QU's playing really well right now, but I still would favor Rockhurst in a game like that. Do I think they'd blow out QU? Heck no, by any means. I'd say probably, you know, just like a 1-0 game. But I would give them the advantage right now. But with QU and Indy, you know, I think that's a toss-up. I don't know what to expect going into this game against Indy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect.
Indy's been a team that's kind of been, you know, not as a knock on them, but they've been kind of weird all season.
Yeah,
you know,
they pretty much.
Yeah, they've had their downfalls. They've had their highs. They've had their lows. They've had some really, really low lows. They started off pretty bad in the season. And then, you know, you just kind of don't know what to expect from this team. QU beat them on the road 3-2 in overtime. You know, it really is a toss-up game. You know, if you pick Indy 1-0, well, that's a reasonable assumption. But you could also pick Quincy 1-0. It might go all the way to penalties. This is a game. You know, it's the definition of a toss-up in my opinion.
Well, the strength of the Hawks' defense has been, you know, they've really stepped it up over the last week, 2 weeks. You know. I have Taylor Reese being out is going to hurt. They're going to have to depend on, you know, your Eddie Plesha's or just somebody to step up and have that big game. And you know, if it keeps happening, that's great, but it's hard to expect things like that to keep happening.
Yeah. You can only dip into the well so often.
Right.
Another team who's, I think their spot's sealed up in the NCAA tournament, regardless of what happens, is the QU woman.
Locked.
Yep. They come in, beating, winning in the first round of the GOVC tournament. They'll play Truman in the semifinals on Friday. They're right now ranked fourth in the Midwest region behind Truman, Bellarmine, and Grand Valley State. Really, you know, barring something miraculous, which, you know, I would have to think like a 10-0 loss to Truman and...
Knock on wood, but we don't see that happening.
Yeah, you know, 10-0 loss and everyone else... It's almost impossible to see it happening, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
This is a team that now, unlike the men's side of the NCAA tournament, if you win the GOVC tournament, you're locked in for sure. You win the GOVC tournament on the men's side, you're not a lock, but if you win the GOC tournament on the women's side, you're a lock to get in the NCAA. You get a guaranteed spot.
Mm-hmm.
So Quincy, you know, right now, Truman, Bellarmine, both in the semifinals. You've got a chance to, I think, possibly leapfrog both teams if you win the GOC tournament and get a 2 seed in the Midwest region.
Yeah, just because you beat Lewis 4-0, which is a good win, because, you know, earlier this year, you know, they let Lewis jump out 2-0 ahead before beating him. You know, you got to stay hungry because you got a chance right here, like you said, leapfrog Truman State. And this team's going to be hungry heading into this game. There's no doubt about that. They're going to want to beat Truman, losing to him, you know, 2-0 last regular game of the season just a week ago, really. You know, this is going to be a big game for this team. Prove that you can beat these teams. They can. I mean, they can, and they know they can. So it's just going out there, just giving it your all, really. I mean, this team has the focus. They've got the talent. It's just about the execution for me.
Yeah, that's really what it is. And I think, you know, for the seniors especially, this weekend's going to be big. When you think about Haley Markway, Ashley Burton, all those seniors that have been on this team, if you win the GOC tournament, that's your third GOC championship in 4 years.
Yeah, they've had a taste of it, but obviously they, as seniors, they want that last.
Yeah, you know. I think that's pretty big on the girls to be able to, you know, end their season with, or at the come regular season, whatever happens the rest of the postseason, come the off season, to be able to walk away with 3 GOC championship rings. There's not going to be anyone that's come through KU that's going to be able to say that. So that's probably playing big on the mind of the girls. And really, this is something that they can really do. We mentioned Truman. We talked about in the pre-show, you know, against Truman. Truman plays on the grass field, which isn't the best field to play on. Quincy's used to playing on the turf field. Bellarmine is all turf field. Yep. This can be a huge advantage for KU. And, you know, it's a good chance for KU to go out there and beat Truman and exact some revenge and start creeping ahead in the NCAA regional rankings.
Yeah, you say it's big for the seniors to come out with a conference title. I think it's big for the young ones too, freshmen. Yeah. You know, these freshmen, you know, getting a taste of a conference title, it's gonna just for their years to come, it's gonna just make them more experienced in the moment. This team's so good. They have such a good team, and you and I obviously want them to make it to the Final Four. Not saying we don't want the men to as well, but. You know, a spot there in the Final Four in Pensacola, Florida. Obviously, you can't get too far ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
But this team has the talent. I mean, you know, it's just the execution for me. Are they going to be able to go out and execute? And like you said, they do have the advantage in this game against Truman on a turf field. They play a fast style of soccer anyway. And you're not really allowed to do that on a grass field, like, you know, against Truman at Truman. They weren't really allowed to play their style of offense. And it showed, obviously, unable to score any goals in that game. Their defense has been spectacular. You know, lots of shutouts this season. You don't see too many games where they're giving up more than a goal. So, for me, you know, if the offense shows up, scores 3 goals, I think they got it.
I think this is the right time for the KU women's team to be peaking, and I think that's what they're doing. They're getting hot at the right time right now.
Absolutely.
Won 6 of their last 7. Mm-hmm. Of those 6 wins, 5 have been shutouts. Everything is starting to click and come together, and I think that's scary for KU or for any opponent that plays KU, whether it be in the GOC tournament or in the NCAA tournament. When you have to face a team like that, I don't care what their record is. If a team's coming in that hot, you never want to play them. Just because, you know, they have everything going for them, and they're the toughest teams to knock out once postseason comes. You know, firsthand as a Cubs fan, they got the team who got hot at the right time, and you don't want to face that team in the playoffs.
Yep. I completely agree. And, you know, this defense, like you said, those 5 shutouts have been spectacular. And, you know, we've talked about Abby Pulliam and Ashley Burton, how they've kind of been a 1-2 punch. I think they're more now of a 1-2 punch than ever before. You got Abby Pulliam scoring 2 goals against Lewis. She's now got 11 goals on the season. Ashley Burton already in the teens with goals, you know, on the season. Mackenzie Reef's been playing really well the last week or two. I mean, these are girls that have been at the top of their game on offense. And if this offense continues to shine like this, the defense is always there. Megan Swanson, you know, GLVC Defensive Player of the Week, 2 weeks ago. It's a team that you really, really do not want to go up against right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, even though Truman beat them, I think they're kind of still thinking like, man, we have to go out and play these girls again.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, given the circumstances, both teams are a long ways away from home. It's a turf field. You know, the advantages all swing right now in Quincy's favor. But at the same time, You also have to play them back in your mind. You know, Truman State still won at the end of the day, regardless of what
they're a good team. There is no disputing that.
Yeah, Truman can still go out there and beat Quincy again.
Absolutely.
It's not a guarantee that's going to happen, but they can still go out there and do it. And I think that's why you want to, you know, be aware of the advantages are in our favor now if you're the women's team. But at the same time, you know, they still beat us. They still, you know, have that leg up on us.
Yeah, it's just kind of so bizarre. They played just a week ago, yet this game feels like it's so much different.
Yeah,
even just a week later, because, you know, different feel, different atmosphere, different meaning behind the game. You know, more's on the line, you know, for this one. There was a lot on the line. It was a 2-seed in the GLVC conference tournament here. That was on the line last week. But, you know, this one, advancing to the conference final. I mean, it's so much more than just last week. So it just feels like a different game completely for me.
Yeah, it feels like these teams almost met in the first game of the season, not just a week ago, like it has been.
Yeah.
That's gonna do it. That's gonna wrap it up. We'll be back here tomorrow previewing everything that's coming up for QU football, men's soccer, and women's soccer. For my co-host Andrew McCulloch, I'm Andy Martinez. We're signing off. Thanks.